From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad, and I'm sure about 5,000 kilometres up in the sky it's sunny. Down here it's wet. This is Postcard from Poprad, and if you hear funny noises, it's not my tummy, it is an electric storm round the studio. Yes, something like that. We are still at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains over in the east of Slovakia, in the town of Poprad, over there in the hot areas. Whenever it's hot over there, it rains here. Terrible. It's Mr. Banks.
Well, hello, everybody. It's me.
Are you happy today because it's sunny?
No, I was just doing my new Mancunian voice for you. That's the voice I'm going to use from now on.
What, to hide your lisp?
Yeah, to hide my lisp. Which I'm sure me and Rachel will be happy to explain about the hell, the absolute hell that Rachel and I have been through while you have been sunning yourself in the sun, in the glorious Tatras Mountains. And now it's raining, I'm so pleased, because it's 21 degrees centigrade here.
That's cold, we're warmer here.
Eh?
It's warmer here.
Why?
Because it just is.
Well, what is it then? You're just making it up like you make everything up. You don't tell a word of truth.
It's a 22.7 as I look at the screen right now.
It's one little bit over us and you're saying, get lost. It's the first sun we've had this year.
Somebody who doesn't worry about the sun coming out on a regular basis. It's down there, up there in Queensland. It's RH with teeth.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, well, I'm missing two bottom teeth, my wisdom teeth, but no, I'm just as wise. They did dislocate my jaw. They felt my ever-expanding gob wasn't large enough.
Too much information.
I feel better. I'm glad to be back.
Thank you.
And yeah. I had a new post put in my gob, ladies and gentlemen.
God, here
because
we go.
The dentist person put a post in, yeah. And it disappeared into my inch-long orifice in my gob.
So basically,
so
what you're saying,
another one in,
you're saying, then, you're saying you got a big mouth.
It's not a big mouth. It's sort of tabloid in its
He's got a big mouth.
Thank you. It took 700 quid to fill one hole.
You're joking me.
No, I'm not joking. 700 quid? 700 quid?
It's $990 to take my
everybody's
bottom
teeth
out. And it was $700 and something dollars for the little man just to put me to sleep.
$700? I thought they'd knock you out and dislocate your jaw.
Just for $700 to put me to sleep, $990 for them to take the teeth out, which I still don't believe they did. I think they just pulled my mouth open and shoved tennis balls.
$1,600?
Good God.
Yeah.
How much is that in real money?
About...
In your money, about 3p.
About 400 quid.
God, that's still cheaper than mine, then. Stop showing off. I've got hotter weather and also a more expensive gob.
Jeez, you two have been ripped off.
Ripped off, mum. Wait, oh, God, I could tell you about being ripped off in the mouth.
My word.
Dentist, the instrument of the
I'm going to do an advert.
Well, I thought you would.
I'm going to do an advert for dental tourism.
Just before you do, can I just say something that happened?
Can you do C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-
now embedded in my mouth, and everything I say has a sound to it. I'm like a snake. I'm like a little busy snake.
So if Walt Disney do a rerun of Jungle Book, you're in then, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Mm. You could be a sneaky boy. Yeah, go on then, quick, because I was going to do my advert.
No, here. This is what happened, right?
No.
When this, like, really expensive, what they call, cap or whatever it's called, I went straight down to my dentist. I'm not going to name them because they should be ashamed of themselves. But I went in and I said, look at this. I said, I've got things to do next week. I've got to meet my public and stuff like that. So they said, well, there's nothing we can do. You'll have to have a root canal filling. I said, all right. And they said, when? They said, in 3 weeks. I said, oh, all right. When can you put the cap back in? She said, the 7th of June.
What?
The 7th of June. So I'm supposed to walk around with this big hole in my gob until the 7th of June. And I pointed out, I said, hang on, I'm actually in America on that day. How are you going to get there to stick it back in? She said, sorry, nothing we can do. So they were going to leave me with a big hole in me gob, right?
That's no new news.
And to, and or I'm going to America with a big hole in me gob to be romantic, to get married in Las Vegas. Elvis is marrying us. I will be there with no teeth, right? And so I went round. And so I went round the corner to another dentist, right? He stuck it in, right? Yeah. He stuck it right in me gob there, up the hole like that, up the new pole, right? And the next day it came out, so I went back and he says, oh, heck. So right then and there, he did a root canal filling, right? Put some more poles in for me, right? And then stuck it back on and it hurts like hell, but it isn't coming out.
Well, my motto with dentists is if it hurts, just leave it alone.
No, actually, I've got to say now, for any men listening, the nurse in my dental practice wears a bingo T-shirt.
A bingo T-shirt?
Yes.
Hmm. Don't get involved in that or you'll end up on Coronation
Street. Well, what do they say at bingo sessions?
Too fat duck.
No.
That doesn't mean you can touch.
No. They say, eyes down, looking.
Yes, but that's
oh,
not.
Do they?
Yes,
that's not what it means. Just because you're at the dentist, that bit of cleavage is not like a builder's cleavage. You are not supposed to touch or part your bite.
I didn't touch anything.
I think the moral of the story here really is that Lee and I both could, in the last week, could have done a postcard from Gobrad.
Very good, very good. Okay, my quick commercial, and I can't count how many it is because I don't. I'd have to count them, and I don't know. But I had all of my bottom teeth replaced, all of them, because I've had prosthetic teeth since I was about 19 when I fell off my motorbike. They did the whole lot, every one of them, brand new, €2,000.
How much is that in real money?
£1,800 for all of them.
For the lot?
Yes.
How many had you got?
Holy moly.
I think it's about 12 or 14, something like that.
That's £1,000. That's £100 each.
Yeah.
How long ago was this?
About 3 months ago.
Ah.
Yeah, so mine, that's two teeth I'm talking about. That's £350 each.
Yeah.
And yours was what, Rachel? You had how many taken out? So you didn't even have anything to show for it, did you?
No, just a lot of pain and misery and some you know, galactic hurling, but that was about it.
God.
Galactic hurling.
Do you know we've been rabbiting on about teeth for nearly 8 minutes?
And we're wasting time.
I know. Let's move on. Anyway, it's gloriously sunny, according to Lee, in Blighty, like all the expats really wanted to know that. 21 degrees C over the bank holiday, and that's about it, really. It will rain on Monday.
Can I just explain to Rachel something?
What?
How Eric fell out with me earlier this week and wouldn't talk to me.
Did I?
Oh.
Yes,
oh.
Because he said to me, I'm going to lie out in the sun, it's so beautiful. So I said, well, don't lie out in the sun too long because the Slovaks will make you a national monument and arrange day trips round you.
That was unkind.
Hmm.
That's what he said.
I'm just getting a visual.
I know, I'm sending it to you. He got all upset and wanted to talk to me.
Sulking. Oh.
Sulking. We sulking.
Really are sulking. Anyway, I've got to say, the pin-up lady of my late father was definitely one lady called Deanna Durbin, who's died at the age of 91. Stunning lady, big Hollywood big box office star in the 30s and 40s, and reportedly the highest paid star in Hollywood in the 40s.
I think she was, and at 91, she was still quite gorgeous.
Yeah, and they reckon there was, I can't remember whether it's Universal or MGM, because she was in both of them, but one of the studios actually admitted at the end of the day, if it wasn't for Deanna Durbin, that studio would have gone bankrupt. She saved the studio, because she was so
popular.
Was
MGM.
Was it MGM?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I was going to say it as well, Rachel.
Well, there you go. So we all agreed.
We're clever.
In front of him, isn't it, Rachel?
We all
He's
agree.
Looking at it, isn't it? It's not agreed. Difficult to find, is it?
Does it say that she saved the studio?
No.
No.
So did I remember that?
I just knew that.
You just made it up.
You remembered it correctly.
Thank you very much.
You remembered it correctly. Made it up.
So therefore, I am an arts expert.
Do you know what's interesting about her, though? Her career was so short and she retired so early.
Well, yeah. She was...
She had... She retired in, you know, 47 or something. And
oh, she
wasn't
was 27.
She was 27 when she retired?
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that...
That's really early.
But isn't that spooky if you think 27, this is a magic number and I've written stuff on this, 27 in America for stars is a telling stage. Very often, particularly if you're a rock star, you die at 27. Jimi Hendrix.
Yes, it's a 27 club. Yes.
Exactly. And she
Kurt
retired.
Kurt Cobain and
Hang on a minute, guys. You're missing a trick here. But if you think somebody try and I can't even... guess what this would be, not even a guesstimate, but she was earning something like $250,000 a film at the age of 27. Now, what would $250,000 be worth today?
About
that
5
money.
Million.
So she was earning like $5 trillion, enough to pay off
she
America's
was doing
debt.
It all. Yeah,
exactly. So if she'd invested all that money, no wonder she had a great life afterwards.
No, but there's an artistic endeavour in these people's lives, isn't it? It's not all about making money. Money's a byproduct of art and fame. It's not what
maybe
you set
maybe she discovered
off,
she
Rachel?
Didn't like it.
Yes.
That's true, but maybe she discovered she didn't like it. Like, I quit acting at 17 because I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Didn't you like acting?
Mm-mm.
Why?
No, I didn't know. Because I had to deal with the likes of Kylie and people like that, and I just didn't have the stomach.
Oh, blinky Kylie.
Oh,
what a...
Oh, dear. Anyway, so we wished Deanna Durbin a lot of luck and hope she signs a postcard for me, Daddy, upstairs. Chris Kelly, one half of the 1990s rap duo Chris Cross, which I'll read out because Lee can't, has died in an Atlanta hospital. Age 34.
That was horrible.
That's terrible.
Horrible.
Isn't it?
I know.
So young. Whatever the circumstances are when someone young dies, whether it be, you know, misadventure or, you know, whatever, it's still sad. And
it is.
They were cute, those little kiddies jumping around with their pants on backwards back in the 90s when they were 13 or something.
Yeah, I know.
They were great. They were so and it was a catchy tune, if you don't mind. Like, everybody knew it.
Yeah, indeed.
Chris Cross will make you... Jump, Daddy Mac will make you jump.
It, Lee wouldn't know that, Rachel.
It was
done after 1970.
I know. Have a look on my Facebook page. I posted it the other day when I heard that he died.
Well done,
he
you.
Yeah, but he didn't die at 27, did he? So he's not become like a legend.
No, he's just a ledge.
Yeah.
He's just a ledge. Yeah, or a leg.
Or a leg end.
Well, he's not late because he didn't make 27. 27, you see, the other thing, going back to Diana Durbin, just to address your point, Mr. Eric, the Diana Durbin might not have left at that stage because she'd made enough money. She might have done what Bob Dylan did at 27, which is take his own career away so that he may survive the rest of his life.
But he's still doing stuff.
Because he had a little rest and came back.
No, well, Deanna Durbin did the right thing. She got out at the right time. Stopped. End of.
She wasn't a very good actress.
Lived for a ripe old age and is now having a rest.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, it's been a big talking point in the UK over the past 24 hours. Very boring local election with a by-election, which is typically boring because every time that I can remember since being a child, every time you're in midterm with a government... They come up with these local elections. The local elections are just not representative of a general election. The governing party loses a few seats. The opposition lot go, oh, we did very well. The parties which are normally the type of party that get the votes just to be angry at the government, they go, hey, we're going to win the next election. We're coming up now. And the governing body goes, oh, it's just midterm election. That's it. That's
a sort of summary which has a certain veracity to it. Mm-hmm. But there is the simple fact that actually these elections do put into place people who have power. They don't particularly affect the government at the election level, but what they do is put in people at local level. You get a borough council, which could be a Tory administration, or a county council could be a Tory administration. Mm-hmm. And that starts to build up a control area across the country. Mm-hmm. And at the past, we had all the county councils were all Tory councils, and they are powerful. They are the next stage to government. Mm-hmm. And what's happened in Britain today, which I find particularly scary, mm-hmm. is that UKIP has actually started to gain so much ground. Now, people say that it's a vote of no confidence in the other parties, which is right, but it's also a fatal mistake to putting in a party who in the past has been seen to be a haven for thugs and racists. Say for a second they are now, but that's what they're perceived as.
Yeah, but every leopard can change its spots, can't it?
Of course it can, and that's why I say, you know, that's how it's perceived from the past. But it is scary that the hoi polloi, who will hate me for describing them as hoi polloi, but I don't really care, have gone like lemmings to the voting stations and voted for a party that has an unfavourable and unsavoury background. Mm. Terrifying.
You know what? I don't know much about this particular subject, and hence my silence to now. But there's something that irritates me, and I only know by what I read, because I've got a lot of people on my Facebook page from the UK due to the radio affiliations I have. Mm-hmm. I've been reading bits and pieces about what people are saying, and the thing that irritates me, we have compulsory voting in Australia. Mm-hmm. If you don't vote, you get a big fat fine, which is why I always
terrible. I mean, that's disgusting.
I think it is too. I think it is too, given that we're modelled on your parliamentary system.
But it's your vote. You know, you should have the right to do with it as you wish.
Well, I always vote for the unicorn. Because I draw a picture of a unicorn and then leave. So I just get my name ticked off and go. But these people are all sort of raving on about this by-election, and I asked the question, who voted? And hardly any of them did. And I'm like, well, unless you vote, you really should shut up.
Exactly. I agree totally.
No, you can't say that. You can't say it's your vote. It's like having a front door. You don't have to answer your front door just because somebody knocks on it. And your vote is your vote, and it is yours.
I agree
forever.
With that, but you don't have
a
right.
And if you don't want to use it, don't use it.
Correct. You don't use it. But then if you don't use
it, moan about it.
You can't have a right to moan.
Moaning about it. And I'm like, well, you know, you need to vote. That's how you need to vote in order to get your moaning out there and make your moaning legitimate. Otherwise, don't moan, because you, unlike me, have a choice.
I do understand what you're both saying, and in principle I can see it's right, but I do think there is a basic right within human beings and human beings who created politics to say that I don't want to cast my vote for anybody who is there standing up asking for it. I don't trust them. I don't like them. So therefore, what you're saying is, and this is the unfortunate thing that happens in Australia, one way or the other, you are forced to vote for somebody who perhaps you have no respect or time for.
Well, we've got to do the balance. We're a proper radio station, so we'll do the up-to-date balance. Currently, after 16 sets of votes have come in from the shires out of 34, so there's only 16 out of 34 councils declared. Currently, in overall control, the Tories or Conservatives have 9, Labour have 1, the rest of them don't have anything. There's no overall control in 6. Uh-huh. Conservative Party councillors, 373, that's a drop of 109. Labour have got 122, which is up 68. Uh-huh. Liberal Democrats, 128, they're down 25 so far. UKIP, the UK Independence Party, have got 52 seats, that's up 52. Independents have got 34, that's up 11. The Green Party have got 6, that's up 3. The Residents Association have got 1, that's up 1, whatever they are. Vacant have gone up 1.
That's a guy with a rake.
Whoever Vacant is, they've gone up They've got one, which is no change. The British National Party, the BNP, which are not nice, they've got no councillors at the moment. They're down one. And the same goes for the English Democrats, the Idle Toad Party, the Independent Community and Health Concern. Liberals haven't got any seats yet. Bayan Kanuh, none. And so that's where it is after 16 councils have been declared. And it will take several days yet before the rest of them come in. And that's not to say that everywhere in the UK is actually voting today, because they're not.
It's only partial election.
It's a partial count. So it's not really reflective of the whole country. So anybody saying this is the way it's going to be, they're dreaming.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I've just said, isn't it? Picking on me again.
I'm for the man with the rake.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, he's all right, isn't he?
But it was nice to see that after so many years, the monster raving loony party still had candidates.
I used to know Screaming Lord Such, and he was funny.
David is funny. Was funny.
Was not funny. That funny now.
No,
not if you bump into him.
No, he wouldn't do these days, that's for sure. If you got him quiet sitting down in the corner, which was quite an achievement, which happened in one radio station in London I worked at, he would tell you the most amazing, funny, anecdotal stories about the stunts that he used to do. And he did them just for the PR stunts. He was a genius.
He was a clever, clever man. Very rich. Very well off in his own right before he became a comedic rock star.
Yeah.
And he wasn't a bad rock star either, you know.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as say that, but there you go. Lego, not to San Francisco, but to London.
Did you get that? Lego, let's go. Lego. Let's go to San Francisco.
Let's go to San Francisco.
Where are my drugs?
Right, sorry.
And the second joke was, it's a fair exchange. Hey, I might be ill in the mouth, but I'm not dead in the brain.
Right. Is it supposed to be on a red top thing then?
The only problem is with this story, ladies and gentlemen, that nobody's read it, so nobody can pick it up and run with it.
They can, because it's all about money and finance.
It's about Madame Tussaud.
Yes.
I've read it, but I don't understand it. Go on.
I put it in and I don't understand it.
Well, they just reckon they're going to make more money on the stock market in London than they are with a listing in the UK, in New York. Simple.
The only comment I can make on this is very simply that this possibly is why UKIP is doing so well in Britain. That David Cameron and Corporal Clegg promised the UK people that the building blocks of recovery would be put into place by them. And they have. The only problem is it's Lego.
No. Oh, God, I knew my phone would go. Sorry. Hang on. JB, would you like to say hello to the world while I'm on the wireless?
That'd be very nice.
No? So shall I call you back in half an hour? Yaroslav says hello to the world.
Hello.
That's my phone making horrible noises. Lee, to be serious for a minute, that argument you just put forward isn't right.
That was a... Ladies and gentlemen, how many times? That's four times. We've only been on the air 20 minutes. Every 5 minutes, he picks on me. He should be arrested and put in jail for cruelty to Lee G. Banks's with holes in the gob.
Well, just think about it. If the company behind Madame Tussauds, Alton Towers, have decided to shift from New York to London.
I didn't even know they were out there, did you?
Yeah.
Alton Towers is out in New York.
I'm going
to New York in a few weeks.
So you keep telling us. it's all right. You got to get in there. You got to get in the USA yet. That'll be fun. And the fact is that if this is part of where things are going, and a whole load of business shifts everything into the city of London, actually, Mr. Cameron could be right.
It's absolutely, the point you're making is spot on and perfect. It is actually a positive thing. I just had to turn it into a red top moment because that's what I'm employed to do.
Oh, I see. Okay. So is that it then?
Good job.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well done, Lee.
Well done.
Yeah, it was, wasn't
Not.
It? It was quite
yes.
well.
Absolutely well, tickety-boo.
As it trips off my beleaguered tongue, I actually thought, oh, gosh, that's quite clever, you know.
Awfully topo, chaps.
Yeah. Well, let's see, I can ask my other voice. I'm going to do this voice quite a lot now. And then I'm going to do this voice, which is my posh voice. Then I'm disguised. I'm like the Invisible
when
Man.
When I grow up, I want to be you.
I'm not growing up at all. Pizza. Anyway, I have no idea what Lee's headline is on this one. It goes, ha, 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 ha. See, didn't the Women's Institute do well?
Rachel, do you understand that? Is that not
it's
just a man?
It's a pirate reference.
It's a pirate, exactly. The man who claims to have been on pirate radio doesn't even understand that. Ha, 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 ha.
Make him walk the plank for that.
We were not on pirate radio. We were on. Excuse me. We were not on pirate radio. We were on unauthorized radio.
Yeah.
Still a boat with a plank in it.
So come on, then. What's the story?
Morning. Are you asking me? Have I got to tell it? Well, I think it's a really funny story. It's not. It's a tragedy story.
How is it?
Don't miss that. Yeah. Because the Women's Institute in wherever it was, somewhere in Britain, actually invited a bloke to come down and do a talk. And they pay very well for them sometimes. They pay about 60 quid a time. So this bloke tunnel off down there to wherever it is. I'm desperately trying to find it. Parkham WI in North Devon. North Devon. Now that is where the cream of society lives. And all these old ladies and the members of the Women's Institute thought, this is interesting. We've got this sea captain coming down to talk about pirates. So they all dressed up as pirates with funny hats on. And when he turned up at the doorstep like that, all these little old ladies with the little patches on their eyes, you know, those patches you have for estrogen or whatever it is, they got them on their eyes. And as he walks up, they all went, ha-ha, ha-ha, Jim lad, and things like that. And it turned out the man was there to talk about his 7 weeks of hell being captured and held hostage by the Somalian pirates.
No!
Yeah!
They thought it was like, you know, Gilbert and Sullivan evening. You know,
Well, they would do, because in Devon, there was such a thing as legitimately licensed radio station called Pirate FM.
That was. And ladies and gentlemen, you have to remember, Devon is in Cornwall. Yeah. So it is a really strange place.
Well, that's where that's where the pirates used to come because there were so many sea wrecks in the old days.
Wow!
Yeah. As they went on the rocks, and the pirates would nick all the rum, and all that stuff.
Dead man's bum. Oh, talk.
Actually, no, I've heard of this Colin Dutch fella. They had a really short documentary, albeit short, about
why was it short?
It was one of those sort of between show.
Yeah, we had the same thing here. Well, anyway.
Yeah, about the whole sailor, about him and his kidnapping by the Somalian pirates. And he had a terrible time of it, I must tell you.
He did. He took it quite well.
Yeah, but anyway, he did tell his story and everybody sat down. And I'm sure he had wonderful tea and scones with clotted cream afterwards. Which brings us nicely to the end of part one, boys and girls. We'll be back fast and you can make your milkshake, have a cup of tea, or even eat a scone with lovely double cream on it and jam.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI